Your future income is being used to pay for yesterday's spending, and now you're living this rat race. You're working to pay back the bills, and you're working to pay off the interest. And when you live in that cycle, you are never going to have the ability to get ahead. And this is where right now the most accessible thing that you can do, not the easiest, not the funnest, and not the nicest thing to do, but the most accessible thing that you can do is...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
I recently put out a video about what you can do in your 30s if you don't have any investments to get started to become wealthy. And the number one type of comment that I got in that video is, what do I do if I'm in my 40s? Because guess what? If you're in your 40s, you don't have as much time as somebody in their 20s. Well, the good thing is there are three things that will determine how wealthy you'll become. Number one is the dollars. How much money do you invest? Number two is a return. How fast can you grow your money? And number three is time. How long do you have for your money to grow and compound? Well, the one thing, the one factor that you cannot change is time. None of us can go back in time and start investing when we're 19 or 20 or 25 years old, but we can get started today. The thing that you have to remember is that you can make up for an imbalance in one of these three factors by putting more weight on one of the others. So if you have less time, you can increase how many dollars you're investing, or you can increase the return that you're getting. If you don't have enough dollars to invest, you can increase the type of return that you're getting. And that's what I'm going to be going over in this video, because if you're in your 40s, your time isn't as much as somebody who's 25, but that does not mean that there's no opportunity for you to become wealthy. But it does mean you're going to have to get laser focused and extremely focused on becoming wealthy, and that requires some sacrifices, some hard work, and putting your money in the right places. And the first thing you want to do is you have to start by assessing your finances, where they are right now. Number one, do you have any savings? Number two, do you have any investments, including a 401k or an IRA? Number three, do you have any debts, and what kind of debts are they? Number four, what is your income combined? Number five, are you tracking your money? Number six, what legal or financial shields do you have? These legal or financial shields could be things like a will, an estate, a trust. These could be things like LLCs and different insurances to protect you in case you get sued, to protect you in case something bad happens. Now, this is where the first thing that you have to do in order to start improving your finances is you got to get a picture of where you are right now, because everybody's going to be in a different boat. Somebody's going to have $3,000 with the debt, no savings, no investments. Somebody else is going to have $40,000 with the debt with $100,000 worth of assets. And somebody else might have no debt and $500,000 worth of investments put aside. And this is where you got to create that picture of where you are today and where you want to go. And the way you want to start this is you take a piece of paper, take a Google sheet, does not matter. And you want to write down these numbers, right? Number one on the top, what is your income? How much money are you making? And what are the sources of this income? This could be a job, this could be a business, this could be your investments. What is the income that you're making? Then below that, you want to write down your expenses. Now, this is going to be a detailed list of your expenses. You want to take a look at your credit card statements, your debit statements, and your bank statements to see, where is your money going? Is it going to restaurants? Is it going to groceries? Is it going to gas? Is it going to your car payments? Is it going to your mortgage? Is it going? Write down all the different places where your money is going. Categorize it. That way, now you can see your income. Then you see your expenses. Then after the expenses line items, that's where you want to write where else your money is going. How much money are you putting towards your investments? How much money are you putting towards charity? How much money did you put towards your savings? How much money did you put towards anywhere else that's not listed above? Maybe you're saving money for a down payment on a home. Maybe you're saving money to buy a car. Maybe you're saving money to buy a watch. Write that there as well. That way you know exactly where your money is going. Now you have a picture of where your money is going, and then you should also be writing down all of your debts and all of your other assets here as well. This is going to give you a starting point, because now you can take a look at this and say, how far are you from being able to become wealthy? Because remember, three factors: time, dollars, and return. We can't change the time, but we can influence the dollars and the return that you get on your money. And this is where now the most accessible place to start is by being able to invest more dollars. The more dollars you invest, the wealthier you will be able to become, period. Because, well, if someone's investing $1,000 and somebody else is investing $5,000, you have the ability to see more return on your money if you can invest more money, assuming you invest your money into a good investment. So now, how can you invest more dollars? You're going to have to figure out either A, how can you earn more money so you have more money to invest, or B, how can you cut back on your expenses? And this can be very difficult, especially if you're in your 40s, because now you feel like you're established in your career and you don't want to be cutting back now, to start putting money aside towards your investments. But you're going to have to get real with yourself, and we're going to go over some numbers where you're going to have to put in the sacrifice right now, do whatever it takes, because if you do not have a solid plan towards building wealth or retirement now, you are going to have to get extremely committed, because you don't have the same time as somebody who's 21 or 25, and so you have to get extremely committed and make double the sacrifice, because if you want to be able to live wealthy, live financially free, and not have to worry about money anymore, you're going to have to put in that sacrifice now. And yeah, it's not as fun to do that when you're in your 40s as compared to when you're in your 20s, but either you're going to look back when you're in your 50s and 60s and say, thank God I made the sacrifice when I did, or you're going to look back and say, man, I wish I did, and that's going to be that decision for you to make. So you got to start by assessing the situation that you're in right now, and then the second thing that you have to do is you're going to have to build the order of operations now of how you are going to get the wealth and the financial freedom that you want. We're going to build out these order of operations, and then number three is you're going to have to attack this order of operations. So you're going to assess, build the right order of operations, and then attack this order of operations. And now when you're talking about this order of operations, there are seven things that you need to work on. The first thing that you need to do is you have to make sure you have your base foundation built, your base savings. Number two is you have to attack the high interest debts. Number three is you have to build a financial system. Number four is you have to make your lifestyle adjustments. Number five is you have to manage and create the right investments that give you the best rate of return possible. Number six is you have to look at your income. And the number seventh is when you're going to look at your other debts. So let me start by building that financial base, starting with building the base savings. If now you don't have any savings, and by savings, I mean an emergency savings cushion that's there not to make you rich, that's there not to help you buy investments, that's there not to help you buy a car, that's there just to protect you against an emergency, your emergency fund, as some people like to call it. If you don't have any savings, the first thing you got to do is save $2,000 ASAP, because if you don't have $2,000 saved up, you are in a financial danger zone. Because what happens to so many people now in this instance is when you have no savings put aside, guess what? Life happens. And by life, I don't just mean someone's having a baby and they got to go pay for a baby shower gift. I mean, your car breaks down, your AC breaks, your window breaks, your kid breaks their arm. Something happens. And that something is expensive. And when you don't have savings to cover that expense, well, what do? You put it on your credit card. Now, not only do you have to pay that expense back, but then you got to pay it back plus 19% interest, which means instead of paying that $1,500 to fix the problem, you now have to pay $2,200 because you had to pay the $1,500 from your credit card and then another $700 in interest because it took you so long to pay it back in the first place. So the first thing you need to do right now is get extremely aggressive to put at least $2,000 aside before you do anything else. Before you worry about putting money in the stock market, before you worry about putting money anywhere else, you got to save this $2,000 ASAP. And the way that you do that is you got to get very aggressive now on not spending money on anything. If you do not have $2,000 put aside to protect you against an emergency, you should not be spending money. You should not be going to restaurants. You should not be having a Netflix subscription. You should not be having any music subscriptions. You should not be having a massage membership. You should not have any of these payments, because this is a financial danger zone. And trust me, I know this one's not fun to do. But without this, you're never going to be able to achieve any real wealth. So until you have the $2,000 saved up, no spending money on anything unless you need it. Absolutely need it to survive. You need a pair of shoes. You don't need the new Jordans. You need a place to live. You don't need that nice home. You need a car to get to and from work, but you do not need that Beamer. Put aside the $2,000, and then the next thing that you got to do is you have to then pay down the high interest debts and attack that. And the reason why now we're talking about paying down these high interest debts before we talk about going out and investing your money in the stock market or trying to go out and buy rental properties and create cash flow and build that wealth is because your credit card debt is costing you a lot of money. Credit card debt is 14 to 25% interest rate, sometimes more, but in that range. Your investments are paying you 7 to 10% historically on average, which means if you go out and you put your money into the stock market or into the real estate market and you get an average return of, let's just say, 10%, which is pretty good. If somebody got 10% a year on their stock market portfolio, that would be considered a great return. But then if you have to go and turn around and pay 15, 20, 25% on your credit card debt, you are losing money. You are losing wealth because now you're getting 10% and you're paying 20. So this is where right now, before you go out and worry about investing your money to grow your wealth, you got to stop the financial bleeding, which means you got to pay down your credit card debt. Because the funny thing when it comes to the topic of investing, everybody talks about how can I get better returns? How can I increase the velocity of my money? How can I make my money faster? How can I double my money quicker? Well, do you want to know who's doing that very quickly at your expense? Your credit card company. Because guess what? Your credit card debt is a liability for you. It's an expense for you, but it's an asset for your bank. It's an asset for your credit card company, because now your credit card company is getting the 20% return every time you spend a penny on your credit card. Now look, I love credit cards. I use a credit card for everything because I get cash back, I get perks, I get spending and fraud protection. But I also never pay a penny in interest. If you are paying interest on your credit card, you are using it the wrong way, and you should not be using a credit card. Maybe at some point in the future, you can consider using a credit card. But right now, if you have credit card debt, you should not be using a credit card, and you got to pay down this credit card debt ASAP. There are no exceptions here. You have to pay down this credit card debt because it is skinning you alive. The third thing that you have to attack once you pay down this high interest debt is you have to build now a financial system that's going to make you wealthy before it makes everybody else around you rich. Here's the reality of how our economic system works. The more money you spend, the richer somebody else makes. When you go to Chipotle and you spend money, Chipotle gets richer. When you go to Lululemon and you buy some new leggings, they get richer. When you keep that money in your pocket or when you invest that money, now Chipotle and Lululemon are not getting richer, but you're making yourself richer. Our entire economic system is designed to get you to spend your money. And not just that, it's designed to get you to spend money you don't have. Because now, when you go into Lululemon and you don't have the money to buy those leggings, the $100 or $200 leggings, well, what do? Well, you could walk out, which is not good for Lululemon. But you could buy it with 0% APR, or you can put it on your credit card, or I'm sure they probably have their own credit card. I don't know if they do or they don't. But now you just bought something with the help of debt. Now it's a double whammy for you, but it's making somebody else rich, because now when you buy this on your credit card, not only are you making the banker richer, but now you're buying something that you wouldn't have bought in the first place, which is great for the economy, it's great for Lululemon, it's great for the corporation, and it's great for the investors, but it's at your expense. And this is where right now, your job is to make yourself rich before you make everybody else rich. And the way that wealthy people do this is they always, 100% of the time, is they pay themselves. They work to make themselves rich before making everybody else rich. And the way you do that is by investing your money before you spend your money. You invest and save first, and then you spend whatever's left. The majority of America, and this is why the majority of America is broke, the majority of America spends their money first, and then they'll save or invest whatever's left. And when you do that, guess what? Most of the time, there's never any money left over, because it's very easy to spend money, but it's not as easy to invest or find that money to invest. And so this is where you need to build a financial system. It can be very simple that will allow you now to always have money to invest. And that means you can build something like a 75-15-10 plan. This is a very easy way to start, which says that from now on, for every dollar that you earn, 75 cents is the maximum that you can spend. 15 cents is the minimum that you're investing. We'll talk about where to invest in just a bit. And 10 cents is the minimum that you're saving. Now, whether you're earning $20,000 a year, $200,000 a year, or $2 million a year, it does not matter. This system is going to scale with your income. And the first response that everybody has to this is, but Jaspreet, I'm barely getting by as it is. How do you expect me now to live off of only 75% of my income? Well, the response that I always have, you probably heard me say this, is if the government was to impose a brand new 25% tax on you tomorrow, what are you going to do? Complain, cry, let a letter to your senator, but then you're going to find a way to pay it, because if you don't, you're going to end up in jail. And so now you are taxing yourself, not to make the IRS richer, but to make yourself richer. So you have to build some sort of system that is going to now make sure you pay yourself first. And by pay yourself first, I mean making yourself wealthier before you make everybody else wealthier. Then once you create this type of system, I want you to create three different bank accounts and go to your bank. You can create these three different bank accounts, and the reason why is because you want to separate your money. You want to have a separate checking account for your spending money. Then you need to have a separate savings account for your savings money, and then you need to have a separate third account. This could be a checkings or a savings. It does not matter. It just depends on what you want to do with it for your investment money. Don't tell the bank this is an investment account, because they're going to think of it as something completely different. To the banks, an investment account is something different. They have their own definition of an investment account. You just need a separate account, whether it's checking or savings. That way you can store the money that you want to invest. Then there are many banks that will do this completely free, that will allow you to build automated systems that will automatically pull money out of one checking account and move it into the second and third account. That way now every time you get paid, you have this direct deposit that now is going to pull money out of your checking account from your paycheck, put some of this money into your investment cash account, and put some of this money into your savings account. That way now you don't accidentally spend your savings money and you don't accidentally use your investment money to finance a brand new pair of leggings from Lululemon. And this is where right now you have to build this. And you might think, but why do I need to go out and create these three different bank accounts? Isn't that overkill? Well, it's much easier to spend less money when you don't see that money. When you see that cash in your bank account, we as humans, especially as humans in America, because we live in a consumerism society where we are bred to spend money. We are bred to have what I call net zero thinking, which is if I have $1,000, I need to spend $1,000. This is our society here in America. It just is what it is. So now how do you beat that? Well, you should start changing where the money is, because now when you look at the money you can spend and you don't see anything in there, you can't go out and spend more money. So now you have your separate savings account, you have your separate investments account, and now you have your separate savings account. The thing that I want to mention about your savings account is you don't need to save your money forever, because your savings are not there to make you wealthy. Your savings are just there to protect you against an emergency. Now, there are savings accounts finally online that will pay you some interest. Like as of the time I'm recording this video, there are online savings accounts that are real banks that are FDIC insured that are paying 3, 4, even close to 5% in interest a year on your savings. It's not a CD, so your money's not tied up. You can pull your money out whenever you want. And these are FDIC insured banks. So if you want to earn some interest on your savings, consider moving some of your money to one of these high interest savings accounts. But you need to set a savings goal for yourself. In the beginning, it was just that $2,000. Now, as you're working to build this real savings, you want to have somewhere between 3 months and 12 months worth of expenses. And I know this is a big range, and the reason why is because everybody's different. Some of you are going to be big risk takers. You don't need the savings. Maybe you don't have a whole bunch of financial responsibilities, so you don't need as much of a savings account. Others of you are going to be much lower on that risk tolerance. You feel like you have a lot of liabilities. You want to have as much cushion as possible that we never have to worry about money and stress about money. In that case, you want to have a bigger savings account. So you figure out how much savings that you need, and then you're going to keep saving your money until you hit that savings goal. Once you hit that savings goal, you're going to reallocate the 10% that was going towards your saving now towards your investments, because your investments are what is going to make you wealthy. Your investments are what's going to be working to increase how much income you get. They're going to be working to produce you cash flow. They're going to be working to appreciate in value. That way you can become rich. That way you never have to worry about money again. Wealth is built through owning assets. It's not built through having a big income. This is a big misconception here in America, because most people in America are working for a bigger income, and then they use that bigger income to drive a nicer car and live in a bigger home. And that's why most of America is broke, because, well, that car and home isn't putting any money in your pocket. But the few percent of people that are wildly successful, it's not that they're rocket scientists, although some of them might be rocket scientists, but a lot of rocket scientists are broke too. And the reason why is because, well, what wealthy people do, these are financially educated people, is when they make their money, they want to buy assets first. They want to own the investments, because these investments will continue to pay you even when you're not working. There's a limit to how much you can earn from your job, but there's no limit to how much you can earn from what you own. And this is why the wealthiest people in the world are focused on owning more assets. See, we in this consumerism society are obsessed with spending. And look, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. I want you to have the luxury things. I want you to have the nice things. I want you to have the nice car. I want you to have the big home. I want you to go on the nice vacations. I want all those things for you. That's why we're working hard. That way you can have the nice things that money can buy. It's no fun to just have a big bank account and never be able to actually enjoy that money. But in order for you to actually be able to enjoy that, I want you to be rich first. I want you to be wealthy first. And in order for you to be wealthy first, that means you got to own the assets first. Because when you own the assets, if you have investments that are paying for all of your expenses, well, yeah, who cares? Go out and buy that expensive car. Go out and buy that expensive vacation. Go out and buy that stupid watch. It does not matter, because you can afford it. At that point, it doesn't matter what the price is. You have investments, your assets that are paying for you to do that. But in order for you to get these investments, you don't have to be born a multimillionaire. You don't have to be born to rich parents. But you have to make that financial sacrifice to have more money to invest. You can spend less and you can work to earn more. Now, we talked about different ways that you can spend less, right? You got to make the sacrifices. But this is where right now you got to figure out, how can you have more money to invest? And then the next natural question is, well, where do I invest my money? Which brings me to point number four, which is the lifestyle adjustment. Now, we already kind of covered this, but the reality is most Americans are broke, not because of their incomes, not because of their boss, not because of the government, not because of banks, but because of the lifestyles that we have and because of the decisions that we make. Now, I know that's hard for a lot of us to hear because we never want to blame ourselves. It's much easier to blame everybody else. But when you're pointing your fingers and blaming everybody else, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. Now, we covered this story in Market Briefs recently, but the vast majority of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, as in more than 50% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And this is where most people say, well, if I earn more money, then I'd be able to solve my financial problems. But that's not the case, because what we've also seen is that the majority of Americans, more than 50% of Americans earning over six figures a year, more than $100,000 a year, are also living paycheck to paycheck. It's not how much money you make, it's what we do with the money you make. And what we've seen statistically is when the majority of Americans get a bigger raise, they get a bigger salary, they dig themselves into a deeper financial hole because now you have more access to spend. And banks look at you and say, oh, you're making more money? How about a bigger line of credit on your credit card? How about a bigger home equity line of credit from your home? How about a bigger cash out refinance? How about more debt that we can go out and spend? Now, what the majority of Americans do with that is they go out and they buy more liabilities, things that lose them money, things that make them look rich, right? You have all the fancy brand name stuff. You got the nice car, you got the big home, you got the nice vacations. And when you finance all these things, not only do you have to pay this money back, but then you got to pay interest, which means now your future income is being used to pay for yesterday's spending. And now you're living this rat race. You're working to spend, you're working to pay back the bills, and you're working to pay off the interest. And when you live in that cycle, you are never going to have the ability to get ahead. And this is where right now the most accessible thing that you can do, not the easiest, not the funnest, and not the nicest thing to do, but the most accessible thing that you can do is give yourself a lifestyle adjustment, which means now you got to cut back on some of the crap. Now, this is not fun, right? When you go from ordering the double guac at Chipotle and then you stop ordering extra guac, that's not fun. It's not as tasty of a bowl, but you got to find the ways now to cut back on your expenses. That might mean that you can cut back on your home. Maybe you live in a smaller apartment for a little while, for a couple of years. Not fun, but you can save a lot of money doing that. If you get rid of the BMW that you financed and now you go to drive a Toyota Corolla with cash, you're going to save a lot of money every single month, not just on the premium gas, not just on the insurance, not just on the maintenance, but also the monthly payments that you don't have to make anymore. And that's money that you can put directly towards your investments. When you get rid of some of the monthly subscriptions that you're not using, that are not adding any real value to your life, that's going to put some more money in your pocket. When you stop going out to eat so much, that's going to put some more money in your pocket. When you sacrifice a couple of vacations, that's going to put thousands of dollars back into your pocket. Because right now, you got to get focused, right? We know the three things that are going to determine how wealthy you're going to become. We can't change the time, but you can change the dollars and the return. I haven't talked about the return yet, but right now we're trying to get more dollars into your investment portfolio because that's going to make you wealthier. How do you get more dollars in there? Well, you can spend less or you can earn more. And the most accessible thing that you can do is make the lifestyle adjustment, that way you can spend less. Yeah, work to earn more too. That way you have more money going into your investments. But the most accessible thing that you can do is you got to learn how to spend less money. That way you have more money just throwing into your investments, because that's what's going to make you wealthy. And again, this is not fun. Your friends are going to look at you like you lost your mind when you pull up in the Toyota Corolla after you were driving the BMW 4 Series. But this is your time to shine. And then a few years later, once you work to build that wealth, now you can go out and buy that BMW 6 Series, and maybe you can buy it with cash. That way you don't even have to worry about the price, and now you don't got to worry about the payments. And then when you go to pump gas, you're not going to be stressing about gas prices, which is probably one of the most ironic things in the world. You see people go into huge debt to buy these fancy premium gas cars, and then you start complaining about the price of gas. If you're complaining about the price of gas, the problem isn't the price of gas. The problem is the car that you're driving. And so right now, you got to figure out how you can adjust that lifestyle, that we have less money going out. The fifth step that you have to then work on is, where do you actually invest your money? How do you invest your money? And there's a couple of different categories of things that you want to pay attention to. Number one is, are you going to be investing your money into cash flow producing assets? Number two, are you investing your money passively or actively? Now, of course, here when you invest your money, it does help to keep up to date on what's happening in the financial world. The best way for you to do that is to actually read the raw data, read the press releases. But if you don't have the time to do that or the interest to do that, well, the next best thing is to join something like Market Briefs. Market Briefs is my free financial newsletter that I created where my team is working to break down what's happening in the top finance and business news every day into a fun, witty, and easy to read email. You can read the email in less than 5 minutes every morning, and it's completely free. I promise you, you're going to love it. And if you don't believe me, give it a shot. And if you don't love it, well, you can unsubscribe. It's completely free. You can join Market Briefs by going to briefs.co/market. That's briefs.co/market. And I also got the link for you down in the description below. So now when we talk about the different ways that you can get paid, cash flow versus non-cash flow, some investments like your rental properties, like stocks that pay out dividends, pay out cash flow. Other investments don't. Like, you can go out and invest in real estate and hope to flip it in 6 months to 3 years or 5 years or whatever and make a huge profit. Same in the stock market. You can go out and buy stocks with the goal of trying to sell the stock for a huge profit in the future, or you can buy stocks that are going to pay you for doing nothing except owning the stock. This is called a dividend. A dividend is when a company is going to pay you every 3 months, generally every quarter, and they're going to give you a check or deposit this money directly into your stock brokerage account for doing nothing except owning the stock. Now, what you have to understand about cash flow investing is you're not going to get rich by investing your money into cash flow, especially in the short term. Cash flow investing is a long-term game where you're going to have to constantly keep buying more of these cash flow producing assets and do this for a long enough period of time. That way now you can build a significant stream of cash flow, but it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen the year after that, but you're going to have to stay consistent if that's what you want. Cash flow investing to build real wealth takes time and it takes commitment, and it takes you consistently putting more dollars into it. A lot of people think that, oh, if I buy some cash flow, I'm going to be rich. You don't get rich by buying cash flow. You have to make the money first, and then you use this money to generate cash flow. You got to get rich, and then you use this money to buy the cash flow. When you put enough riches into these cash flow producing assets, you're going to get more cash flow back. The general rule of thumb of what you're going to see from real estate to stocks is somewhere between 2 to 7% cash flow. That is kind of your general range. Sometimes a little bit less, potentially sometimes more, but generally $2 to $7 with the cash flow, which means for every $100 you invest, you're going to get $2 to $7 a year in cash flow. Again, it's not going to seem like a lot of money, but now when you change that up to investing $100 a week, every week, over 10 years, now you can start to see where the cash flow starts to grow, because then when you get that cash flow, you can also reinvest that cash flow to earn more cash flow. So now you're slapping $100 every week to buy more cash flow. And then when you get that cash flow check, instead of taking that and using it to go out and buy something nice, you take that money and you use it to buy more cash flow. That way every 3 months, you're buying more cash flow because you're just throwing more money into this machine that's printing you cash. That is how you build wealth, by investing for cash flow. The alternative is, well, now you're not investing for cash flow. You are buying something for, say, $100, and you want this to go up to $200. Again, that's okay. It's just an alternative way to get paid. And this is where now you have to be able to analyze your investments. You have to know how to invest your money, and you have to know the different places where you can invest. Again, the two most well-known places where you can invest is in the stock market and into real estate. Now, if you want to get started in real estate by owning physical properties, it's going to take more money. It's going to take more time. It's going to take more resources. It's going to take more risk. There are alternative ways for you to invest in real estate by investing in funds online. I have some of these resources in the description. If you want to see some of the companies that I work with, they are affiliate companies of mine. But it is a way for you to get exposure to real estate. Real estate generally is going to take more work, more time, more risk, and more money. With the stock market, you don't need as much time, risk, or money, because you can just throw your money into the market. And this is where you have to decide now if you want to be an active investor versus a passive investor, or a hybrid of both. And if you ask me, the vast majority of America, 90 to 95%, maybe even 98% of Americans should be passive investors, but everybody gets attracted to the idea of being an active investor. And what that means is when you try to put your money in the stock market, most people think you have to find the next Amazon or the next Google or maybe the next Apple if you want to get rich. But that's not how the vast majority of people will get rich, because when you play that game of trying to find the next hot stock, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, you're going to lose. And most people don't have the psychology to know how to manage their investments, when to buy, when to sell, and when to hold. And most people don't know how to analyze their investments. Maybe you find some cool companies that you want to invest in, but how do you analyze the financials? How do you know if the cash flow is growing? How do you know if the profits are growing? How do you know if they're using their cash the right way? How do you know if the executives who are running the company are doing good things? How do you know how strong the moat is, meaning how hard it is for another competitor to come in and take their spot? How do you know if they're using their cash flow the right way? How do you know if they have good assets and liabilities on their balance sheets? If that sounds interesting to you, which, unless you're a money nerd, that's not going to sound very interesting to you, you should be looking for something that's going to appeal to the interest and the time that you have. Being an active investor is difficult. This is what Warren Buffett spends his days doing. He's an active investor. He loves researching companies. He loves studying their financials. He loves studying the products. He loves studying the executives at that company. He loves studying the innovation. He loves studying the branding of the company. That's what he's doing. When you're investing in the stock market, you're literally buying companies. When you buy one share of Amazon, you become one of the owners of Amazon. And if you don't want to treat it like that, then you're essentially gambling. Sure, you can make some money. You might find a cool company that you like before it pops off, but you might not. And you might not have any way of knowing if your company is a good investment or not. If that's something you want to do, you want to invest in individual companies, fine, but just understand the risk. And the more research you do, the more you learn, the more time you spend, and the more money you spend learning how to do it, the better you're going to do. But again, this is long-term investing. I'm not talking about trading. I'm talking about long-term investing. If you want to invest in individual companies, understand that that is a real skill if you want to succeed. The alternative is being a passive investor. A passive investor is, now, instead of you trying to find the next hot Amazon or the next hot Apple, now what you're doing is you're just investing your money into the stock market. You're investing your money into America. And if America grows and our stock market grows, you make money. And now you don't really have to try to find the best time to buy. You don't have to find the best price. All you're going to do is set up a system where now every time you get paid, you're just going to throw money into the market. And this can be completely passive. You don't have to spend any time doing this besides finding the right funds to invest in the first place. Then you just automate it, set it, and forget it. And so it's much less time, much less risk, because now if you invest in, there are funds, for example, that will give you exposure to the entire stock market. For example, there is an ETF, an exchange-traded fund called VTI. It trades just like any other stock on the stock market. But when you buy one share of VTI, you are in essence buying the total stock market, which means now you're just getting exposure to America and the stock market. Now you have hundreds or thousands of companies that you're investing in. And so if one company goes bankrupt, it doesn't bankrupt you. It just gets kicked out, and now another company might come in. It gets balanced out by the losers. If one company goes really big, yeah, that's going to benefit you, but it's also going to be balanced out by some of the losers. So these funds, like ETFs, you can also look at index funds. Some mutual funds might also work. These funds are giving you exposure to baskets or groups of stocks, so that way you don't have to find the perfect company. But the key to win in this type of passive investing game is you got to just keep throwing money into the ETFs every week, every 2 weeks, every month. I am a passive investor and an active investor. I cannot tell you what to do. Do not blindly follow anything that I do, and I don't recommend what I do to anybody. But what I do is I have a passive investing strategy and an active investing strategy because I'm a weirdo and I like researching companies. Those numbers are very interesting to me. But I have a passive and an active investing strategy. In my passive investing strategy, every Wednesday, I don't have a secret sauce as to why Wednesday, just for me, I picked Wednesdays because it's in the middle of the week. Every Wednesday, cash is leaving my bank account and is automatically being invested into my portfolio of ETFs. I have ETFs that give me exposure to value companies, things like the S&P 500. I have ETFs that are giving me exposure to dividends. This is actually the biggest piece of my entire passive investing portfolio. I like dividends because I like cash flow. Cash flow is the bulk of my investment portfolio because my rental properties are there for cash flow, and the majority of my stock market passive portfolio is there for cash flow. So now I have the the value, the S&P 500s. I have the dividend paying companies, ETFs, and then I have some investing into innovation. This is a little bit more of the speculative side. These are more of like the growth potential type of companies. And then I also have ETFs that give me exposure to international companies, emerging markets, because that's kind of like a hedge. Because if things go down in the United States, well, some countries that don't rely on the United States, that don't rely on the dollar, might not be hurt as bad. And so it creates a little bit of a hedge. Now, again, every Wednesday, cash leaves my checking account and it's automatically invested into my portfolio of ETFs. I don't touch it. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. It just happens every Wednesday, whether the market's up, whether the market's down. And that's the key to win. Not only do you need the time now where you're investing your money into these types of ETFs for a long time, but you're doing this in a way where it's consistent, passive, and automatic, because if you choose when to do it, well, you might miss a week. And when you're just waiting for the best opportunities, you're not going to keep investing your money. The way that you do this is whether the market's up or down, you're going to keep investing your money no matter what. The only change that you're ever going to make is potentially when you see markets drop, you could potentially buy more. But besides that, you don't change the system. That's how you win in this passive investing game, and you just keep throwing more money into it. Now, this is where you got to make the decision of, number one, where do you want to invest? What types of assets? Is it stocks? Is it real estate? Is it startups? Is it something else? You got to figure out the assets that it is that you want to invest in. Second, do you prefer cash flow, non-cash flow? Third, are you going to be passive or an active investor? And now you just kind of work down the list and you start taking the money that you're putting aside towards investments and you put it to work. Now, again, if you want to see how you can automate this, you want to find a brokerage that you can do this with, I have a link in the description of an affiliate company of mine that I personally use. Again, we will get compensated if you use any of my affiliate links, but it's resources there that you can consider. Find the best resource for you. Don't just blindly follow what anybody on YouTube tells you to do. Now, if you remember what I was saying just a little bit ago, that there are three factors that will determine how wealthy you become. Number one is the dollars. Number two is the return. Number three is the time. We cannot control the time, but you can control the dollars and the return. When you spend less or you earn more, that's influencing how many dollars you're investing. The next thing that you can do is influence the return that you're getting, and that's where now your investments are going to determine the types of returns that you're getting. If you want to get better returns, generally that means you might have to take on a little bit more risk. For example, you have the potential to get better returns when you actively invest your money versus when you passively invest your money. But the higher risk also comes with the higher potential to lose more money. And so now, how do you get better returns? You get more financially educated, because the more you learn, the more opportunities that you're going to see. And in addition to that, what else creates opportunities? Well, finding distressed assets. If you find a rental property that's beat up, that's in an area that's coming up, but it's just so bad that nobody wants to buy it, that could give you the opportunity to buy a good property that's beat up that you can fix up at a huge discounted price. It's the same thing in the stock market. If you find a beat down stock that everybody's selling, that's on the verge of a turnaround, that can create opportunity for you. Again, higher risk, because this company could then go into bankruptcy. But if you can buy it cheap, you can make a lot more money. And this is where now that financial education comes in. How can you find these types of opportunities? You can learn, you can start researching, or you can see more broad market opportunities. When you see a market crash, when you see a recession happen, asset prices fall. Why do asset prices fall? Because people start selling, people start panicking, people need money, so they cash out of their investments. And when people are selling, that creates an opportunity for people who are prepared to come in and buy. So if you want to see higher returns, you got to get more financially educated and get more involved with their investments, because that's going to allow you to get higher returns. And the higher the returns that you get on the money that you invest, the wealthier you will become. And now when time is a more limited factor, you're going to have to get more focused on that financial education, not just so you can invest more, but so you can get the better returns on your money. This brings me to then the sixth thing that you have to work on, which is your income. What happens now to 99% of people in this situation is you are now getting into this financial education game. You're working to put more money towards your investments. You're working to invest your money to build wealth. And now you realize, wow, this is kind of fun. I'm seeing the opportunity for success. I need more money to invest my money. This is now, it pays to earn more money. Because now when you earn more money, you're earning more money not to drive a faster car and have a bigger home and go on a nicer vacation. You're earning more money so you can have more investments that will pay for your nicer car, bigger home, and fancy vacations. And this is where now earning more money is so crucial, because now your time is more limited. You need to be investing more dollars. That way you can have more wealth. But in order for you to invest more dollars, there's only two options. Number one is you can spend less, which is what we've been talking about up until now. The second thing that you can do, which can allow you to make way more money to invest, to have more money to invest, is you got to earn more money. Now, how do you earn more money? Well, there's an unlimited number of options here. And the first thing that I want to say is, look, it's never too late to make a change. This is what's going to be probably the most difficult factor in your 40s. And what's interesting is it's not just difficult in your 40s. It becomes difficult when you're 25. People who are 25 say, oh man, I'm committed to working in medicine. I'm committed to being an engineer. I'm committed to being an accountant. I can't change now. You're 25 years old. What are you talking about? And then you hit your 30s and you're like, dang it. You know, I should have made that change when I was 25. I don't really want to be an engineer. I really don't want to be a doctor. I really don't want to be a teacher. I really don't want to be an accountant. I really don't want to be a technician. Well, then what happens is you just stick with it because like you feel like you've been in this career, in this industry for so long, you can't make a change because now you're older. Nobody wants to hire an older person. You don't have any other experience. And do you really want to start over? And then come your 40s. And then you say, oh, you know, dude, I was really young in my 30s. I was stupid for not making a change when I should have. But now I'm in my 40s. I've been in this career for so long. I have so many networks now. I've built myself in this experience and I have this resume that allows me to have the job that I have. It's not the funnest thing. I don't really care about what I do. I'm not making the best money, but do I really want to, like, I'm 40 years old. I'm 45 years old. Do I really want to make a change now? That's what's going to happen. When you're in your 50s, you're going to say the exact same thing. When you're in your 60s, you're going to say, dude, I wish I would have made that change in my 40s or my 50s. Time is going to keep going on, period. Right? We're not going to stop the earth from spinning. We're not going to stop the days or the nights from coming. That's going to happen regardless. Time is going to go, but what you do in that time is something that you can control. And so if you're not happy with what you do, make a change. What's the worst that can happen? And if you don't want to just leave your job, that's okay. Start doing something in the evenings. Start doing something in the weekends. That way you can start learning. If you're an engineer and you want to go into medicine, or if you're an engineer and you want to be an entrepreneur, or if you're a doctor and you want to go and start selling cakes on the internet, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Start figuring out. If you're not happy with what you're doing, it's not too late. Even if you're in your 40s, even if you're in your 50s, even if you're in your 60s, it is never too late. And you might surprise yourself at how many new financial opportunities you're going to find when you start doing something that you actually enjoy. Because when you start doing things that you actually enjoy, you don't feel the dread of working. And when you don't feel the dread of working, you end up working more. And when you end up working more, you tend to be better at what you do. And when you get better at what you do, you have the ability to earn more money. When you have the ability to earn more money, well then, you know, you can live a better life financially. And it can happen very quickly. Like people talk about how much I work. I work a lot of hours. I work 7 days a week. I like working. I work when I'm on my vacations. I do it because I don't feel a dread when I work. Actually, I get stress relief when I work. I like what I do. And because of how much I can work, it's harder for people to compete against me. And it allows me to also earn more money. And the funny thing is, I don't feel stressed out because of how much I'm working, because I like what I do. And this is where now you can create new opportunities for yourself, whether it is a career change, whether it's getting a certificate, whether it's working harder at your job, whether it's getting a second job, whether it's getting some sort of new qualification that we can earn more money. There's unlimited possibilities here. It is not too late to make a change. And if you don't believe me, I don't know, I can shake the screen to get it through your head, but you got to be the one to believe that for yourself, that it's not too late. If you don't want to do that, you can also work to create your own income. You can try to start a side hustle. You can try to start a business. You don't have to quit your job and change everything in your life and hope that you start making millions of dollars tomorrow. That's not how it works. But you can start on the evenings. You can start on the weekends. You can start in the mornings. You can work on a lunch break. You can find time to get committed, to start learning, to be better, to now creating the new income and doing something different that will allow you to live the life that you want. Because remember, you got to own the assets to become wealthy. How can you own more assets? You can spend less or you can earn more. We talked about how to spend less. This is where now, how can you earn more money? Not so you can drive a faster car and have a bigger home, right? You got this now. So you can invest more aggressively. And this then leaves me with number 7, which is talking about all the other debts that you have. You can talk about your car payment. You can talk about your mortgage payment. You can talk about all the other debts that you have, the lower interest rate debts, because in the beginning, we talked about your high interest rate debts. Now, when we talk about these other debts out there, the real key now is going to be dependent about what type of life that you want to live. Because if your goal is just to be financially free, you know, I don't want to have to worry about money. I want to go to my backyard, never have to worry about payments again. I just want to be able to breathe without having anybody hovering over me. And I don't really care about having the nice stuff. I don't really care about the exotic things. I just want to live free. If that's you, then it makes more sense maybe for you to pay down the debt. And I said maybe for a reason. I'll get to why in just a second. If you say, you know what, Jaspreet, I want to change my life completely. I'm tired of living like crap. I want to have the nice things. I want to drive in Mercedes, BMWs, Rolls Royces. I want to fly first class. Maybe I want to even fly private. I want to have the nice exotic things. I'm so tired of living like this. Okay, that's fine. But the way you're going to get there is by taking on a little bit more risk than just paying down a 4% interest rate debt. And so now you got to figure out what type of lifestyle do you want to live and what is going to make the most sense financially. And the reason why is because now you got to take a look at your debts. Lay out what interest rates are you getting. If you got a mortgage back in 2020 or 2021 and your mortgage is 2.8% a year, now you're debating, what should I do? Should I pay down my mortgage faster? Or should I do something else with my money? Well, if one of your options is I can save my money into a high interest savings account that pays 4.5% and my mortgage is 2.8%, if this guaranteed savings return interest is paying a higher interest rate than my mortgage, well, then you can just put your money into a high interest savings account and then use the interest from the savings to help pay down your mortgage, right? Because at that point, financially, you have very low risk to get this return from your savings account. And so now you can get this return, and it's better for you to get that return on your savings because there's a higher rate of return than your debt. See, when you put your money into the stock market or into the real estate market, now it's different. Now, the goal is to get 7 to 10% a year, but you might also get minus 5%, which is where now if you have that low interest rate debt and you just want to be financially free, then sure, it makes sense to maybe not invest the money into the stock market or the real estate market because there's a chance you might not make any money. In which case, paying down the debt can give you a guaranteed return and can give you that lifestyle faster. But when you have the high interest savings accounts that are paying you 3, 4, 5%, and if that's more than what your debt interest rate is, well, now you might be better off by not paying down that debt faster because you can get the interest from your savings and that might help you actually earn more and use those profits to pay down the debt even faster. And so this is where you just got to figure out now what type of lifestyle that you want to live. Again, if you want to live big, you want to have the nice things, you got to be willing to take on more risk. And taking on more risk means maybe instead of paying down the debt right now, you got to be investing into things like yourself that's going to help you earn more money. One of the best investments that you can make is in yourself. That means start by spending your time to learn. Watch YouTube videos, listen to podcasts, listen to articles, read books about ways to earn more money, ways to build a business, ways to grow a business, ways to scale a business, ways to be creative, ways to be innovative. Then as you learn, you start doing. You start investing into your business idea. And I can pretty much guarantee that the first idea is going to be a flop, but you got to get started. You got to have the first, to have the second, to have the third. And then as you do, you're going to learn more. And as you start to grow, that's when you can start investing into more education. Hire a coach, hire a consultant, somebody who's 5 years ahead of you, 10 years ahead of you, because they can teach you a lot that we don't have to go through the 5 or 10 years of pain and struggle that they went to. Yeah, they're expensive. I get it. Online coaches, business coaches, investment coaches are expensive. I've hired a lot of them. I've paid a ton of money in education. But if they can help you reduce how much time you have to spend learning to do it yourself, it might be a very good investment for you. Some of them might be crap. Some of them might be really good. And then you keep investing and building in yourself. And this is where now you are building that trajectory to build that wealth because now you will own the assets. You have the right income and you're spending money in a smart way that's allowing you to scale how many investments you have because that's how you're going to become wealthy. Building wealth is all about the velocity of your money. How fast can you grow your money from $1,000 to $10,000? And your job now is to figure out how you can accelerate the velocity of your money and in order for you to change the trajectory to go from slow and steady growth to fast and boom, growth is to focus on these four things. Number one, you got to focus on your mindset. Number two, your commitment. Number three, your discipline. And number four, your risk. Let me start by talking about your mindset because the reality is, look, we live in a day and age where people's mindsets are really influenced about what's happening outside, what's happening in the media, what's happening in the traditional media, and what people feel the consensus of on social media. And people generally, I'm not talking about everybody, but you kind of have this like general consensus of, well, I'm not rich, so I hate people who are rich. And I can pretty much guarantee that when you carry that mindset, it's going to be impossible for you to ever become rich. Now, how do I know this? We remember that whole submarine incident recently, which was so devastating, so heartbreaking. It doesn't matter if someone's rich or poor or something's going on. There's a lot of things happening in the world, but when somebody loses their life who's innocent, that's sad. And when you read through the comments, most of them were solely focused on the incomes or wealth of people that were inside of the submarine. And what did they say? Oh, these are rich people problems. Why are we trying to help rich people? Oh, that's what happens when you're rich. And I can guarantee you that when you have that mindset towards rich people that, oh, they're bad because they're rich, you are never going to have the opportunity to be rich because naturally we want to be good people. And if being rich is being bad, why would you want to go out of your way to become bad? And this is where you got to understand, look, money does not make you a good person. Money doesn't make you a bad person. Money is just a tool. It amplifies who you are. When you give a good person more money, they have a tool to do more good. When you give a bad person more money, they have a tool to do more bad. And so if you want to be wealthy, all you need is more money. And more money is not going to make you a bad person. It's not going to make you a good person. It's going to amplify the type of person that you are. And instead of hating the people who have money, you got to start asking the question of how did they get the money in the first place? And that simple switch in your mindset is going to completely change the trajectory of your life. And you might be thinking, oh, Jaspreet, that's just a bunch of woo-wah stuff. You can't just change your life by thinking differently. Yes, you can. And I'm not talking about this abundance. Oh, I'm just going to pray on money and money's going to come and fall on my laps. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about changing the way that you think. There are some people out there who think the world is against them. And when you think the world is against you, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to constantly be paranoid and not want to build trust with people, not want to network with people, not want to build businesses and relationships with people because you're going to think the whole world's going to be against you. And as soon as something goes wrong, as soon as something happens in that business, oh, I knew it. I knew the government was going to be after me. I knew customers were going to hate this product. I knew that the internet was going to not like this. I knew that people were going to try to shut me down. Well, you could change that same person. If you put them in a different mindset, it could be completely different. Because guess what? Every idea is going to have problems. People are going to hate on every idea in the world. You know, there's a meme on the internet that says, if you don't want to upset people, just sell ice cream or something along those lines. Well, guess what? Even if you sell ice cream, someone's going to be mad. People are going to have issues with everything that you do. They're going to have issues when you don't do things. They're going to have issues when you do things. That's a part of the world. There's going to be issues of regulations. There's going to be issues of a lot of things. And so now if you expect that to happen and that's going to be that overwhelming force of why you can't become successful, you can guarantee you're never going to become successful. And this is where that mindset of now understanding the way you think is going to influence what you do. And what you do is going to influence what you get. But it all starts with their mindset, right? I call this the minority mindset because the minority mindset is about thinking differently than the majority of people. And the majority of people, especially in today's day and age, we live in this complaining society. We live in this self-misering society. We live in this victim mentality. We live in this society where we want to blame instead of wanting to change. Because guess what? It's easier to blame, right? When you feel crappy about where you are, especially financially, it's easy to blame your government and the boss. Man, it's because of all these taxes that we have to pay and all this government spending that we're broke. It's because my boss isn't paying enough that I'm broke. It's because my landlord keeps raising the rent that I'm broke. When what you'll see is some people in the same situation will be able to win despite all that other crap. Because guess what? There's a lot of crap in the world, period. Now, either you're going to go in with that mindset of despite the crap, I'm going to win, or I'm going to let the crap just parade on me. And you got to make the decision for yourself. Which one do you want to be? And this starts here. And I know this one is difficult because I've encountered a lot of different people and worked very closely with people with very different mindsets. And even if somebody is not skilled, they have no idea of how to do a particular task. You might have very little talents, but if you have the mindset of I'll do whatever it takes, you're going to have a much better shot at succeeding than somebody who's very educated, very skilled, very talented, but believes the world is against them and everything is against them. It's not about the skill and the talent, but it's about your mindset towards things. And then Now, if you're in this situation, you got to be honest with yourself. I'm not telling you to go immediately change your mindset because that's not how it works. I get that. In order for you to change your mindset, if you feel like, you know what, I feel negative. Yeah, I do complain about other people. I do complain. I get jealous when I see people who are rich. I get envious when I see people who are rich. I get upset when I see rich people doing things. I get upset when I see people have nicer things than me. I wish I had the nicer things. Okay, all right. I'm just saying accept that and understand that. Because this is now going to be a process, and this is where you got to start. And the way that you do that now is you got to start diving into that personal development side of things. And now, look, you're not going to change your mindset tomorrow. That's not how it works. But you got to start absorbing things to change the way you think. Because if you are constantly hating on other people, you're hating on other people's success, you wish you had the success, and you just feel miserable because you don't have it, and you're constantly complaining. And if you don't know this yourself, ask other people. If people around you say, man, you got a negative attitude, or they're telling you this, take that for what it's worth and start reading some personal development books. Start listening to personal development podcasts. Start watching personal development videos. Things about mindset. Things about growth mindsets. Things about thinking bigger and abundance. And again, with abundance, I'm not saying you got to sit there and just meditate that, oh, everything's going to be bigger and better. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about just thinking that there's more opportunity out there. Because when you think there's more opportunity out there, you're going to start taking actions very differently. And when you start taking actions differently, you're going to see a whole new world of possibilities. And the life kind of works in this very weird way where we think that your trajectory in life is going to be this linear transaction. But that's not how it works. Life and success kind of work like a pinball machine, where when you shoot a pinball, the pinball just goes everywhere. It goes up, down, circular, sideways, left, right, circular, straight, up, back. You never know where you're going to go next. And the most weird things might take you to a different trajectory, but that is what allows you to see the opportunities. There was somebody who was saying that success and opportunities are like buses. And you only learn the bus schedule when you actually have to get somewhere. That's when you're going to actually notice the bus and be able to get on the bus. Those buses keep running, even when you're not paying attention to them. But the only time you're ever going to pay attention is when you see the bus, when you see the bus schedule. But in order for you to see the bus schedule, you have to be willing to see the opportunities in the first place. I started off throwing parties in college. In fact, before parties, I was playing a drum at Indian weddings. Playing that drum at Indian weddings got me to meet DJs. Meeting DJs got me to start hosting parties. Hosting parties got me to realize I hated hosting parties. But that gave me money to start investing in real estate. When I started investing in real estate, I got my real estate salesperson's license. When I got my real estate salesperson's license, I became a real estate wholesaler. When I became a real estate wholesaler, I realized that I needed to do something more scalable. When I started doing that, I started getting more on the internet. I started e-commerce stores. When I started an e-commerce store, I got screwed over. When I got screwed over, I started a class on how to launch a business without getting screwed over. When I started the class, people said I need to get on social media, so I got an Instagram. When I got an Instagram, people said I should start a blog. But English is my second language, so I didn't want to start a blog. Instead, I started a YouTube channel. Then I started a YouTube channel, and that gave me the opportunity to start something like Briefs Media. When I started Briefs Media, that opened up even more doors for me. So you can see it was a pinball. I go from one place to the other, to the other, to the other. And when I was 18, 17, 19, I would have never predicted where I would be in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years from then. But this is where you cannot expect what's going to come next and think, oh, this is not going to help me get to where I want to go. You just got to get started. Life is a pinball machine, but you have to start by changing that mindset that way you can actually get to the next place that you want to go. The second thing that you have to work on if you want to increase the velocity of your wealth is your commitment. And this might be as a business owner, this might be as an employee, this might be as an investor. And the biggest thing that I hear, because especially in today's culture, is, oh, I don't want to do too much at my company because I don't like this idea of doing more than what I'm paid for, right? We talked about quiet quitting. We talked about all these things happening in our culture right now where people are like, I don't feel like I'm treated good enough in my company. But you want to know what is a common trait amongst 99.9% of leaders, 99.9% of executives, 99.9% of overly compensated people, is they had to go through a whole bunch of time of being undercompensated for what they did. These are the people that were the overachievers, that did more than what they were paid for, that did more than what they were asked for, and went out of their way to succeed. So now, if your goal is to be overpaid, the way that you become overpaid is by being underpaid first. And you might feel like, oh, what are you talking about? You mean I have to go to work and work harder and do things for my boss and make my boss richer? Yes, If you are an employee, the best way to get richer, meaning through your income, not through your investments, right? We know that investments are how you really become wealthy. But the best way for you to make more money is by making your boss richer. Now, that might seem really counterintuitive, but the reality is if you are the person that gets into work early and you're overachieving and you're working harder and you're outperforming everybody else, who's going to be the first person to get that promotion? You. Now, you might be saying, oh, there's office politics. If your office politics are constantly overlooking you and treating you bad, go to a new company. Every company is not bad. Are there some crappy companies out there that pick the wrong people consistently and that are picking whatever the word is. They're picking the wrong people. Then leave the company. Go to a company that will appreciate your hard work and your dedication. Because when you are the most valuable person in your department, the person who's going to get that bigger raise, the bigger promotion, that's going to be the last to get laid off, that's going to be the person that gets the most praise financially, is going to be the person who's constantly busting their butt. Because from a company's perspective, what they want is valuable employees. And when you become more valuable, they're going to be willing to pay you more. And the reason why they're going to be willing to pay you more is because you have something that 99% of the other employees don't. And in order for you to do that, you got to make that commitment to put in the work. If you're just trying to coast by, I can guarantee you, you're always going to be struggling because that's the mindset you have towards everything in life. If you're just trying to get by and do the minimum amount of work, you're never going to be able to see that success that you want financially, that real financial success. If you're okay with where you are, then fine, keep coasting. You want to be average? Fine, keep coasting. But if you really want to scale, you really want to earn more, you want to see that top level, you want to be the top food, the top dog in your company, you're going to have to outwork people. You're going to have to outperform people. You're going to have to outdo people. And you're going to have to put in that commitment in order to do that. And sometimes, guess what? You're not going to get compensated right away. But you're going to have to keep doing things that people don't see. When I first started my YouTube channel, it's kind of funny. I think it took me almost a year and a half of constantly making my videos before I got my first YouTube payday. That meant I was putting out 3 videos a week, week after week after week. Month after 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 month. And let me remind you, I am a licensed attorney. My time is valuable. I could charge a lot of money to review contracts and to do business legal work. But I kept making YouTube videos. And for the first almost 18 months, I didn't get my first check. And when I got my first check, it was a few hundred dollars. My first check of almost a year and a half worth of work. That's a lot of commitment to something that's not making me any money. But today, guess what? I'm getting overpaid on YouTube. Why? Because I got underpaid in the first place. If you want to get overpaid, you got to get underpaid in the first place and put in the work that other people are not willing to do. The third thing that you have to fix if you want to accelerate your velocity towards wealth is you got to fix your discipline. Now, discipline is a lot of things, right? Once you start building that commitment, you're going to be working on that discipline to get to work. But it's also the discipline financially, because the reality is becoming wealthy is as much mindset as it is what you do with your money. Because the thing that holds so many people back from becoming wealthy is, you're telling me I gotta invest my money today and invest it for years before I see any return? Yeah, that's the whole name of the game. And people have to see that light at the end of the tunnel right in front of them, because they need to see the return today. I need an instant gratification. I need to see the growth today. I want to double my money in 6 months. And when you don't have the discipline of knowing to trust the system, trust the process, and continuing putting in the reps, it's very hard to do that. It's the same reason why it's so hard to lose weight. Because unless you see the success quickly, it's very hard to stay committed. But the reality is, we know, right? If you want to get in shape and lose weight, what do you got to do? You got to eat better. You got to eat healthier. You got to put in more exercise, period, right? Now you can get into all the nitty gritty of the types of nutrition and the types of diets and the types of exercise that you do. But at the end of the day, you got to eat better. You got to work out more. You got to put in more reps. And now, maybe in the beginning, you start to see a little bit of success, right? Because when you go from really fat and unhealthy and you hit the gym for the first time and you start eating salads for the first time, yeah, you might lose some weight very quickly. But then you kind of hit this plateau where, yeah, you got 2 months of solid success and now you're in month 3 and now things are starting to get hard. Because now, yeah, you're not eating as many Twinkies and Ho-Hos anymore. You're not eating the pizza like you were anymore. You're starting to miss the McDonald's. You're starting to miss all the unhealthy foods. And you're also like, you know, I haven't really noticed a difference in my body in the last 2 weeks. Do I really want to keep putting in this work? And now you're going to be put to the test. What do you really want to do? And the people that are going to win are going to keep putting in the reps. because you got to keep working. And of course, yeah, you got to keep improving the types of reps that you're doing. You got to work on your physical and financial education, but you got to keep putting in them reps. And it's the same thing financially. You got to keep putting in the reps. You got to keep investing your money. Sometimes you're going to see down markets where you're going to feel like you're losing money. You got to keep putting in the reps. Sometimes you're going to see bad things happen in the economy. You got to keep putting in the reps. Sometimes you're going to see the economy booming. You got to keep putting in the reps. Sometimes you're going to lose your job. You got to keep putting in the reps. You got to keep doing the things that are going to make you wealthy, right? You got to keep investing your money. You got to keep living below your means. You got to keep working to build up the savings cushion. You got to keep working to build up the cash flow, because that's what's going to make you wealthy. And in the beginning, sure, it's exciting. Oh, I'm going to get rich. And then you start getting those offers of how you can get rich in 6 months with the 6-step formula. All you got to do is pay me $997. Now, I'm not hating online education. I actually love a lot of online education, but there's a lot of crap out there too. And if all you're trying to buy is that way to get rich in 6 months, well, what do you think is going to happen? Because now you're trying to get away from the real process. You cannot bypass hard work. You cannot bypass the commitment. You cannot bypass the sacrifice. You cannot bypass the mindset. You cannot bypass the discipline, period. It takes discipline if you want to be able to succeed. And you got to make sure you're putting in the reps, even when things are hard, if you really want to be able to see that success financially, physically, in any part of your life, even in your relationships. Guess what? Things are going to get hard with your wife, with your husband. Things will go through rough patches, but you got to keep loving that spouse. You got to keep coming back and showing them love if you want to be able to make it work. Everything is going to go through tough phases, but you got to be willing to have that discipline to keep coming back and keep putting in the reps. And the fourth thing that you have to work on if you want to increase the velocity of your money is your risk tolerance. The biggest thing that I hear, the biggest criticism that I hear about investing is, what happens if I lose money? What happens if I buy an investment and then it goes down? What happens if the economy crashes? What happens if the market crashes? Well, let me tell you this. You are going to lose money, period. When you invest your money, everybody will lose money at some point, period. That's not just a possibility, it's a fact. Every single person in the game has lost money at some point. But when you don't take that risk, you're also guaranteed to lose money. Because now, not only are your savings going to lose value to inflation, but you're also missing out on huge opportunities. That's a loss too. Because if you don't invest your money and you don't see that growth, there's a risk to that. Because you might be broke now, scared to take that risk, and then you're going to be broke 10 years from now too because you didn't take that risk. And so this is where now you have to understand, risk is associated with the game, but that's how you learn. You learn through mistakes. You learn by putting your skin in the game. You learn by actually putting your money to work. I have lost money in investments. I've talked about this openly. I made a video on my YouTube channel talking about my worst real estate deal ever. If you haven't seen it yet, go out and watch it. See what it's like to lose money. I will walk you through the deal. I walk you through the deal and show you all the things that went wrong because I was early. I was young when I bought that deal. I did not know what I was doing. And I made every mistake possible. And you'll see the stress and the financial stress that I went through. It was not a fun time, but I learned so much in that one deal that you cannot bypass that work. Yeah, it was very stressful when it happened. I can look back and laugh at it now. I can look back and talk about all the funny things that happened now. But during that time, it was very stressful. I was losing a lot of money at a time when I didn't have that money to lose. But that's a part of the game. You got to be willing to go through the process. And what's interesting is as you get bigger, the risk also gets bigger. When I was first starting off in my event planning companies, my first party was a flop because we had some issues with the original club that we were going to work with. That lost me maybe $1,000, which was like a ton of money for me back then. That was pretty much all the money that I had in my bank account. When it was my worst real estate deal ever, now we're talking tens of thousands of dollars, which was, again, pretty much everything that I had in the bank account. It was a lot of money. And then going forward even more, you know, when I was running the Minority Mindset trying to build a blog, I spent $500,000 trying to build a blog because I hired the best consultants. I built a team and I was just trying to throw money at the problem, trying to fix it. It was a complete flop. $500,000 down the drain. Yes, risk comes, but without that risk, you're never going to be able to see the growth. And this is where you have to get started, but also understand that those mistakes are not killers of your total financial success. You might have lost a deal, but you'll lose the investment. You'll win the investment game if you keep coming back. And yes, you're going to keep learning. Every phase in your life is going to have new risks, new lessons, and new education, but you got to be willing to come back each and every time. And the reason why all these topics are so important for you to understand right now is because of all the risks that we have in our economy right now. The United States of America needs a recession to save our economy. At least that's according to JP Morgan Chase Bank, who says that our economy needs a recession. Let me read you what JP Morgan Chase Bank, the largest bank in the United States, said in a note to their investors. They said, "While the United States economy's recent resilience may delay the onset of a recession, we believe that most of the lagged effects of 2022's monetary tightening have yet to be felt, and ultimately a recession will likely be necessary to return inflation to target." What does that mean? In 2022, the Federal Reserve Bank started raising interest rates for the first time. We started off slow with those 25% interest rate hikes, the 0.25% interest rate hikes. Then we got more aggressive with the 0.75% interest rate hikes. And we continue to do that throughout all of 2022. And we're continuing, or we have continued, to raise interest rates a little bit in 2023. And what JP Morgan Chase Bank is saying is that we haven't felt the full effects of last year's interest rate hikes, and we're still raising interest rates now. Now, in order to bring inflation down, right, the Fed has to raise interest rates, and there is a lagged effect, a delayed effect to the pain from higher interest rates, which you haven't felt yet. The general rule of thumb is that it takes somewhere between 12 to 18 months to feel the effects of interest rate hikes. We're now starting to feel the pain of 2022's interest rate hikes, which JP Morgan Chase Bank says that we haven't fully felt yet. And they're saying that, number one, we still have to feel more of that pain. And number two, in order to really bring inflation down, we're going to have to see more of this economic pain, what they said, a recession, that it might be necessary in order to bring inflation down. And the reason why is, well, you can think about it, especially with housing prices. Because CPI, or inflation data, is made up of a lot of different components, and one of the main components in that is housing. So when you have a lot of people with money to go out and buy a home with low interest rates, what happens? Everybody wants to buy a home. Now you have a home listed for $400,000. You have 35 different offers, and the home sells for $475,000. Home prices go up. Now when home prices go up, that data goes to the inflation, the CPI data, which says home prices went up. Inflation is higher. When inflation is higher, the Federal Reserve Bank has more fuel to continue raising interest rates. So now, when you have, say, higher interest rates, demand starts to go down. But it hasn't gone down to the point where we're seeing inflation really fall to the levels that the Federal Reserve Bank wants. This is why the Fed keeps saying that bringing inflation down has not happened yet, and it's going to take more work. So now what happens if you have a recession? If you have a recession, now that means the economy is slowing. And generally, that would mean that less people are going out to buy homes. And generally, that would mean that, well, sellers would be having to cut the prices of their homes to get their homes sold. So now let's play that scenario together. If sellers are having to cut the prices of their homes, home prices would generally be falling. If home prices are falling, well, that's going to go to the CPI data that says home prices haven't risen, they've fallen. What does that do to the inflation numbers then? That's going to cool down the inflation numbers, because now instead of seeing more prices of things growing, we have the prices of some things falling, which would help average out to hopefully a lower inflation number, at which point then there's less fuel to continue raising interest rates, because then you have some corrections in the inflation numbers. This is where JP Morgan is saying that we need a recession to actually bring inflation down to the 2% target, because what they're saying is that the current efforts by the Fed are not enough. The current interest rate hikes are not enough. The current quantitative tightening has not been enough to bring inflation down. Now, we did a full deep dive of this story in Market Briefs, which is my free financial newsletter. If you have not joined Market Briefs yet, it's a free and easy way for you to stay up to date on what's happening in the economy, the housing market, the stock market, and the global economy, that way you don't get blindsided about what's happening, so you can be on top of what's happening, when it's happening. You can read the newsletter in 5 minutes every morning, and it's completely free. If you have not joined Market Briefs yet, you can go to briefs.co/market. That's briefs.co/market, and I also got the link for you down in the description below. In June of 2023, we saw our stock market hit a brand new bull market, because we saw the stock market constantly going up and up and up, and everybody said, oh, all these recession worries are gone, the economy is booming. But you have to pay attention, not just to what's happening in the noise and the news and what banks are saying, but you have to pay attention to what actually smart or real investors are doing. because, well, JP Morgan has a lot of insight. So let's see what they're actually doing. They said that they're maintaining a defensive asset allocation and believe the risk reward for equities, meaning stocks, remain poor given the disconnect between stocks and bonds. There's a high likelihood of a recession in the coming quarters. There's high interest rates, tightening liquidity, and rich valuations, and the still narrow market breadths. There's a lot of things that they said in that one sentence that I really want to break down, because now you can really understand now if this is the largest bank of the United States and they're making investments based off of, well, not what's happening in the current state of the markets, not what's happening in the news. It's something for you to pay attention to, because we've heard a lot of news, especially when the stock market's going up, that the economy is booming and everything is great. And what does that really mean? Because what you have to understand is that recessions don't happen when people expect them to happen. They happen when people stop believing that they're going to happen. And what JP Morgan Chase Bank is saying is that the investment into equity stocks still does not seem like the best investment for them because of all the factors that they highlighted. They talked about the likelihood of a recession coming in the coming quarters. What does a recession do? That generally brings asset prices lower, stock prices lower. So because of that, they said this might not be a good time for them to be dumping a ton of money into the general stock market. The second thing they said in that same sentence is higher interest rates. What do higher interest rates do? They make borrowing more expensive. They cool down demand. And what they're also saying is that we still have to feel the full effect of the higher interest rates, which we haven't felt yet. So they're saying that we're going to see more pain coming because of the higher interest rates. Third, tightening liquidity. Tightening liquidity means less money entering our economic system because banks are less likely to loan money. Banks are going through their own regulations to bring less money into the economy. That means less spending, less ability for people and companies to buy assets, less ability for people and companies to spend. Less spending means less economic growth because our economic system is designed on spending. The more money you spend, the richer somebody else makes. And when you have tightening liquidity, there's less spending ability, which means people and companies have less ability to spend money, which means less growth in the economy. And then they said rich valuations, which means essentially that they still believe that the stock market is overvalued. They say the stocks, essentially companies' valuations are too high, and because of that, they're not investing as aggressively into equities right now. This is directly from JP Morgan Chase Bank. Now, you don't want to blindly follow what they do. You don't want to blindly follow what I do. You don't want to blindly follow what anybody does, but rather understand the different opinions out there. That way you can make the best decisions for yourself, because guess what? When the stock market is booming, you start to see the sentiment that, oh, the economy is not going to see any recession, that the world is great, everything's fine, and nothing can go down. As soon as you start to see the stock market slightly go down, things flip. Everybody says, oh, we're going to enter a recession. Everything is bad. Everything is going to go wrong. The whole world is going to end. And this is where you, as a financially educated person, have to be able to cut through the noise, cut through the emotion, learn from different people. Some people think that the world is going to end. Some people think that the world is going to boom and the economy is going to boom. And you have to be able to find the right information to help guide your investments. Instead of being an emotionally driven investor, be an educated and financially driven investor. What we know at the time we'll be recording this video is that, well, inflation is still high. We're seeing the economy slow down, and we're probably going to see more interest rate hikes coming. The Federal Reserve Bank has made this very clear that they expect to raise interest rates more in the future. These higher interest rates, again, make borrowing more expensive, which means less spending, which means a further slowdown in the economy. And at the same time, now you look at what's happening in a job market and you might be saying, well, none of this is making sense. We're having the slowing economy, we have inflation, we have all these problems that people are talking about, but companies cannot find enough workers. People can get jobs. How is this all adding up? But you have to now put this all in perspective based off of what's happened over the last few years. Remember, JP Morgan hinted at this too. We have seen so much money printing, especially from 2020 to 2022. Now, what did this money printing do? Well, of course, it gave people the ability to spend, but it also gave businesses the ability to spend, right? We saw billions and billions of dollars given to these corporations and businesses around the country. Now, when you're handed so much free cash with zero strings, what are you going to do? Well, some obviously use this in bad ways, but businesses that are smart are going to take this money and they're going to want to invest it into new divisions, new stores, new manufacturing, new research, which means new employees. So we saw all this money enter our economic system, and no crap, we saw this huge boom in the job market because businesses had so much money to spend. They had the ability to create new jobs. And this is what the Federal Reserve Bank is working to correct. They're working to change what happened in the last few years. They want to cool the labor market. Why? Because they feel like too many jobs were created, that's also fueling the inflation problem. So what do they want to do? They want to correct that. They want to correct that through demand. Because now, if Chipotle has less people walking through their door, there's going to be less people spending money, or less money that's going into Chipotle. If less money is going into Chipotle, they're not going to be able to open new stores. They might have to shut down some stores. They might have to shrink some of their research or some of their tasting departments, which means less jobs needed at the company. Now, I'm just talking about Chipotle as a hypothetical, but that's essentially what higher interest rates do. They cool down demand, which cool down spending, which cools down the economy. And this is what JP Morgan is highlighting, that you don't want to just pay attention to short-term movers in the market, because there's a lot of things that can influence the short-term moves. The stock market is very emotional. But you got to pay attention to the trends. There's a lot of money that was created in 2020, 2021, and even into 2022. It's going to take time for that all to kind of fizzle through our economy, and then for the higher interest rate effects to be felt. And not just that, we're still raising interest rates. So now as interest rates go higher, we're going to start to feel the effects of previous interest rate hikes, and then we still have to feel the effects of the more recent interest rate hikes. These things are going to take time. And this is where JP Morgan is saying that they're anticipating opportunities coming in the coming years because of everything that's been shifting in our economy. Now, a lot of people don't have that patience to sit there and watch it happen. They want to see either the crash tomorrow, or they want to see the boom yesterday. And this is where you got to be willing to be patient and understand what's happening. That way you can actually capitalize on this. And this is where you want to pay attention to what some of the different players are doing. You want to pay attention to what people are saying and not get caught up in the noise, not get caught up in the emotion, and not just blindly follow what anybody else is doing. Now, of course, we're keeping you updated and market briefs. That way you can stay up to date on what's happening, when it's happening. But this is where your job as a financially educated person is to, number one, get prepared, and number two, be financially educated. I say that 2023 is not the year for you to go out and finance a brand new truck, because this is the year for you to get financially smart. That way you can get prepared of putting money aside for your investments, putting money aside to capitalize on more investment opportunities. And then number two, building your financial education. That way you can actually see the opportunities when they happen. Because, well, you can have the money put aside, but if you don't know how to find a good investment from a bad investment, it doesn't really do you any good. And that's where you need to be investing in your financial education. Learn about investing, read books on investing, maybe take classes on investing, and then do it yourself, because you cannot bypass the experience. That way you can then have the ability to capitalize on opportunities and have the education to find the opportunities, because those two things together can help you dramatically increase your wealth, because you might be able to find great investment opportunities at a huge discounted price.